Welcome to the Smarter, Wealthier Podcast, presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host, Spencer Dillinger, and co-host, Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
All right. The dictionary defines discipline as the ability to consistently take action or stick to a plan. And it defines motivation as an emotional drive or desire to pursue a goal, often fueled by inspiration, excitement, or a clear reason why. So if you haven't been able to figure it out already, we're talking about discipline and motivation today. This is something that I think a lot of people don't like to hear. I know the first time that I heard somebody say that if you wanted to be successful in life, one of the first lessons you needed to learn was how to be disciplined. I definitely was like, discipline doesn't have a positive connotation to it in my mind, because at that point I was a kid, and like most of the time, discipline meant I did something wrong and I was getting disciplined.
You're talking about corporal punishment.
But discipline is much different than that, I think.
Yeah.
When you're talking about building a successful life, building a successful career.
Well, going back to our last week's podcast, I just typed define discipline into Grok to see what it said. And it involves focus, commitment, and the ability to prioritize long-term outcomes over immediate gratification. Discipline can apply to personal habits, work, education, or specific fields like academic disciplines.
Yeah, I think
where it denotes a structured area of study or expertise.
I think delayed gratification is a big part of that conversation with discipline.
It's almost like the word that I like to use is almost consistency is part of discipline.
Being consistent takes discipline.
Yes. We were talking today at the discipline takes optimism.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
We were talking today at the gym, actually, with a couple of guys, or I was talking today with a couple of guys at the gym about how they were younger than me as a 33-year-old old person. They're younger than me, and they're talking about, we were just kind of going back and forth, and hey, it's hard to work out, it's hard to do this, and I was like, no one has an excuse to not do what we're doing. And they're like, what do you mean? You're only 26. I was like, I'm 33. I have a wife and kids and all this stuff. And we're in the gym. You have to work hard at what we're doing. Like, it is hard.
Yeah.
But you have to make time for it. And we begin to talk about, like, well, how do you think? I know we've had a podcast about mindset. And we begin to talk about, like, what you believe you can or can't do. You're going to prove yourself right. And we kind of had a conversation about that. Like, if you believe that you can lift, you can shoulder press 60 pounds, but you can't do it today. As long as you believe that you can, you're going to work to get there.
Yeah.
You're going to put the effort in to get there. And that's the discipline of, you're not going to have immediate gratification. You might not do it today, but you're definitely going to be able to do it in the future if you stay disciplined at a thing.
I think discipline is inherently a hard concept for everyone, especially when we're so used to getting instant gratification. I mean, especially when it comes to information, if we don't know something, we can know it, you know, very like, quickly.
Like what we just did?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think that one of the ways that I have found helpful, because I still work on discipline a lot, I need to work on it more. But one of the ways I've found effective is to prioritize small wins or small goals along the way to give me a smaller amount of gratification as I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this quarter I'm working on being able to do 10 pull-ups, which isn't a lot by pull-up standards, but it is for me as a guy who could do 3 at the beginning of this quarter. So like at the gym that we work at, both work out at, They have the machine, you know, you can put the weight underneath you to help you be able to do more pull-ups.
Assisted pull-ups.
Yeah, it's assisted pull-ups. And you can, so I started out with like 6 pounds underneath me. And or the six, whatever six is, I don't know if it's pounds.
Probably
or,
60 pounds of weight off, and then, yeah, I gotcha.
But I just made up my mind that every 2 weeks I was going to move that notch down one and see if I could do the same amount consistently through the whole quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it up to whatever allowed me to do my end goal, which was 10, and then every single, every two other week I would lower the number so I had less help. And do the same amount. And finally, like this week, I'm doing it without the weight. Like I'm trying to push that and trying to do that amount. So I think one of the easiest ways to make discipline more attainable is to set up small wins. And I think that applies in business. I think it applies. And I'm not by any means saying that I'm an expert or that I'm extremely disciplined with working out, obviously. I could only do 3 push-up pull-ups when I started this quarter. So, but I do think you've got to consistently be a person that is setting new, small, attainable wins for yourself and reinventing them. When they fail, you got to, or when it gets too easy, you got to up the goal. You got to give yourself a new target.
Yeah, I look at discipline also as one of the my mind just went blank. That's never a good thing. I need to discipline my mind a little bit more.
You gave me a thought, so.
Okay, cool.
The other thought I had is using your environment to force you to be disciplined. So.
I know what I was going to say.
I will use, for instance, our quarterly meetings as a leadership team, I use those rocks to force me into discipline. Because if I didn't set those goals, everybody has a plan, you know, until
they get punched in the mouth.
So week 2 of the quarter, if I just said in my own brain that I was going to do 10 pull-ups, I'd have been like, yeah, this is not worth it. You know, probably week 2 or 3. But because I got to get up in 10 weeks before my leadership team and say whether or not I did it or not.
And then go prove it. We're taking you up. We're taking you to the gym. You're going to do 10 pull-ups.
Yeah, I hope so. But I think that motivation really.
I mean, if we have to buy a pull-up bar to stick it in this office, we'll stick one in here and be like, come on, Spencer.
Well, the beauty of it is if I fail, that's going to motivate me so much more. Next quarter, I'm going to be doing 20 pull-ups.
Yeah.
Like, if I fail, this is where I think a lot of people are like, well, if I set this goal and I don't hit it, I'm going to lose all motivation. It's like, no, use that. Use the failure to make you more motivated. If I fail at something, if somebody tells me I suck at something, it makes me more motivated than if somebody's like, well, you're really good at that.
I think you've seen that in me before. I remember when we were cleaning a truck out one time and the door got jammed.
And one of the little idiots that was running around with us.
One of the young guys, I come in the back of the truck. I'm like, I figured out I was between jobs, and I just happened to be at the office and jumped in the back. I was like, it's just not going perfectly like I thought it would. So I just got out, and that kid was like, I've never seen you walk away from not being able to fix it. And I was like, oh, I'm not leaving until this thing's fixed.
Yeah, I mean, we're really talking, and I think when we started off, we said discipline and motivation, and I think motivation is a tool that you can use to.
What I was going to talk about before we jump into motivation. Discipline doesn't always have, non-immediate gratification, and sometimes the word discipline doesn't show up to where it's not a sexy thing, it's not something that's going to be impressive, and it's kind of like when you know to do right. You're going to do it when you're around everyone else, but when you're by yourself, what do you do when you're alone?
Yeah.
That's really where the discipline shows up, because it's really easy to not do bad things when you're surrounded by people, but then you do bad things when you're by yourself. Like, now there's trash laying on the ground. I'm not going to pick it up. No one's going to see me not pick it up.
Yeah.
And you leave it there. Or, I walk by and the trash can's 3 feet away. I'm going to pick it up because people are watching me. That's kind of like slightly discipline and slightly a few other like do good things, but like discipline is doesn't show up unless
doing the right thing when no one's watching.
When no one's watching, but then like over time the fruit begins to show, and then other people see it. But it's not something that no one else will ever notice.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you're on your own, and you have to do all these things on your own, and then there starts to become fruit. And then usually, like everything that I've ever learned, especially the gym's an easy one because. Yeah. How many other fitness people I've met that have helped me out, but if I wasn't doing these things, they would have never helped me out.
Well, because it's relatable for everybody too, because everybody's been to the gym, right? Everybody's tried to get in shape, and that's one of my dad in high school got really fit, and he said one of the things was he was a really skinny kid, and when he first walked into the gym for the very first time, nobody noticed him. Like the older bodybuilders and the bouncers that were working out at the gym were like just ignored him, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was consistent for like a year, and he started to make gains, and then guys would start to give him hints, you know. They'd say, oh, you know, you shouldn't do this, you should do that. Mm-hmm. And start to help him and get involved because they see the consistency. If you show up to the gym in January for 4 weeks, nobody's gonna you're not gonna
they get. Know why you're there. We know why you're here. You wrote it down on a piece of paper in December that said you're going to do these things all year long.
And then by St. Patrick's Day, you know, you're going out partying and you're not going to go to the gym again until January. You know?
You're back at Bakersfield doing tacos, tequila, and whiskey.
Yep. So, but let's take this, talk about discipline more at a professional level. How do you stay motivated? How do you stay motivated to have discipline, I guess, is kind of how I'm viewing this. I think these things go together. I don't think they're really separate things. I think you need motivation to stay disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know that.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe discipline is what it takes to keep going when you're not motivated.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also true. That's a very true statement also. I know that. To stay motivated is knowing, like, if I do this thing, there is eventually an end goal. I think me and someone was talking yesterday about, like, diets are always funny. And I think Jordan Peterson talked about the reason diets always fail is because the end goal is to always be on the diet. There's no, like, you just have to live that way. And that's a discipline thing, like. Because people are like, oh, I hit my weight or I hit my whatever it is, and then they stop, and then they just go back to the way they were. So then it was just an end goal. So that's really not a discipline. But discipline is doing it. I'm going to live this way and making that.
Basically, the problem with diets is that your goal is to get fit so that you can eat whatever you want and do all the things that got you unfit.
Yep. That's usually what people's goals are, instead of being like,
you want an impossible thing.
Yeah, you want something that's not real, but it has to be a discipline. And at work, it's very, sometimes I've seen people do it like, I want to make X dollars, and then they stop.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're stuck there. And it's kind of like, no, you have to continually core value it, constant, never-ending improvement. We got to this point. Now what's the next goal to keep me reaching forward?
Yeah.
Keep pushing towards the mark.
There have been a tremendous amount of people that I've run into, even just like going downtown. I've had people hand me their album, you know, doing music. And, you know, if you talk to these people personally, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be a billionaire by the time I'm 30. And they've got one song on Spotify, and they're handing out CDs and
SoundCloud.
All right. But they're not doing any of the things that it actually takes to do the things they're saying they're going to do.
Yeah, I think I had a conversation with someone the other day, too. It's like, if you see someone, this is getting into motivation more than discipline, that you want to be, figure out how to be around them and figure out the things that they're doing consistently. What things are they disciplined at?
Yeah.
What are they constantly doing that got them to that place?
Well, I think we've talked about this before. How I got involved with Jags Mechanical at all I read in a book, it was like, look, if you want to be successful and you want to build wealth, if you want to be a millionaire, you've got to get around millionaires. You got to spend time with people who have built that kind of net worth. If you want to run businesses, you got to get yourself around people that run businesses. And at the time, I only knew one person that was a millionaire, Mike Rogers, who's the founder of Jags Mechanical. And I called him up and took him out to lunch. But getting around somebody who was where I wanted to be was the key to getting to where I wanted to be. And now, you know, I wouldn't say I'm there. I'm not a millionaire yet, but I'm on the path to get there, and I can see mm-hmm. it as a tangible thing, where back then I couldn't see it. You know, I couldn't mm-hmm. even imagine it. It was like, I don't even know what that means. You know, in your mind, when you are poor, which I was, very poor, you think, I'm never going to be able to, you think that people who are wealthy just have $1 million in their bank account and somehow they got there and they're just rich and they can buy whatever they want. And it's magical. And like, you can't imagine it. But when you meet one and you're like, how'd you get this way? They're like, you know what? I didn't even know that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually turned out that the day that I called Mike was the day he found out that he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing, that coincidence. But when you talk to him, he's like, I had my head down for, you know, 10, 15 years just working. I wasn't thinking about becoming a millionaire. I was working. I was building this up, trying to build a company that ran itself, trying mm-hmm. to build what I read in the E-Myth. And so when you talk to people that are wealthy and you actually hear how they did it, every single step is one tangible piece that you can do. But it's built on the back of many tiny decisions every day. What mm-hmm. are you going to eat? Where are you going to go on vacation? What are you going to wear? Are you going to have a Rolex? Are you going to wear the nicest suits? Are you going to, mm-hmm. you know, all of those decisions. And sometimes there's justifications to spend money on stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But I'm saying you have to weigh all those decisions in the process of getting to whatever goal you have.
Yeah, discipline, and I love football because it's a great team sport, and everyone on the team has to do their thing, and they have to be disciplined at their thing. And last night, I think the Cardinals played the Seahawks and went down to the final play for, I think the Seahawks won. And we kind of just happened to be somewhere where we seen the last 4 minutes of the game, and it the Cardinals lost, and we were like, man, they lost on this play. And we were like, you know what? We don't know what the rest of the game happened, but there's no way one thing caused them to lose. How many drop passes, how many missed assignments, how many people were probably not disciplined. Because I've always seen it, when failure starts to happen, everyone starts to look outside of themselves and start going, like, even myself, if Jags started to have an issue, I'm going to go look at Spencer and be like, what do you got going on? But really the problem is, if I just focused on the job that I'm supposed to be doing and was disciplined at focusing where I'm at, and then Spencer's making sure that he's focused on the things that he's supposed to be focused on, and our finance team's focused on that, and our technicians are focused on where they're at right now and being where their feet are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that won't be missed. But when we start looking at everybody else, and a football team does that, when the right tackle is looking at the left tackle, he's missing his assignment, and the other guy's looking at him like, you're not supposed to be in my thing, and then there's a sacked quarterback. And then that's what happens. And then you're not able to control you control your controllables, not the things that other people can do. And being disciplined keeps you in that mindset, even when you see that guy across on the other team, trusting the
football
process.
Football seems like a good analogy for this, because I always hear people say, you know, this play is what cost the game or whatever. And, you know, it really is every single play
combined.
Like, there could, one play could change the game for sure.
But it could have been in the first quarter, not the last play of the game.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Bengals and the Browns a few weeks ago when they played. It was like everybody was like, if the Browns kicker had made that field goal, they would have won, you know, because the points would have worked out to where they would have won if they got that one field goal. So clearly that was what cost them the game. It's like, well, you know, there's a million other variables. Well,
then the Bengals might have went for two for one of their touchdowns. Exactly. Like, there's a lot of stuff. So you just do your thing. And to stay motivated during your entire discipline, or motivate your discipline, however or you want to
discipline your lack of motivation.
Yeah. Like, knowing that there is something tangible at it, it's kind of like, what's the point of saving money if you're just going to save it and not use it?
Or if you're going to save it and then just blow it all on something.
Yeah. So there's two sides of that coin. Am I saving $5,000 to just say I have $5,000? Or am I saving $5,000 to do a thing? Or am I saving $5,000 to buy an investment for $5,000 and then save another one? So, like, you have to keep that discipline in mind as well. Like, what is your end goal?
What's the end?
And then at the end of that, when you begin to get to the end, that's why I really like the way that we operate, because every quarter we set up our goals, and then at the end of the quarter we set up goals again. So after we set our goals every quarter, we have a opportunity to constantly look forward to. We know, and sometimes, like, I think last quarter I missed one of our goals, and then, like, sometimes we find out in the middle of a quarter by being disciplined that it's not a smart goal. And so we think that it is when we build it, and then we go through the whole quarter pushing for this thing, and then we know that there's a time frame where we're going to stop and set and look, did we complete it? Was it an intelligent thing to do, or was it not an intelligent thing to do? And then readjust it and build another set of goals. So we're constantly keeping that. That's what helps me stay motivated with goals. We call them rocks, but
yeah. Well, we have some built-in accountability too, because we're on a leadership team that does this every quarter. And I know that has made it significantly easier to stay disciplined with every aspect of the work that we do and the goals that we set.
I mean, accountability.
That is an aspect. So, like setting up easy wins, accountability, and renewing your goals. Like, those three things are, I think, make discipline tremendously easier.
If you don't have accountability, you're going to struggle. And accountability is usually other people. Yeah. If you're just using your device as an accountability thing, like, I'm using my calendar to make sure that I stay on things and I don't actually have to answer to any person.
Yeah.
That kind of goes back into last week, where AI is great, but having to look another human being in the face with emotions and feelings and tell them I did not do the thing that I told them that I would be doing.
I'll give you an example. So when I first started renting properties out, I had a partner on my first property, and on my second property, my second single family home, I didn't have a partner, and I managed the bank account. And after about 2 years, I realized that the bank account that I had with the partner, they were similarly lucrative deals, I had significantly more money in there because I was accountable to somebody else with what the money was used for. You couldn't just, oh, I'm going to buy this, you know, class on real estate. And I can't say that I was, like, irresponsible with the money. It wasn't like I was going out and buying bubblegum and beer with it. It was like I was using it for things, but all of it was easy to make decisions that I wouldn't have made if I was accountable. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have rules for yourself, and you have to have accountability in there. And so I'm going to ask you to think with me, because I don't know the answer to this either.
Mm-hmm.
So engage your smarticle particles.
Yeah.
We're going to be... I want to help the listeners of this podcast that don't have a built-in community system for accountability. Where do you find accountability?
Oof. Okay. Well, our leadership team, obviously, that's what we're on, so that's easy for us to find
that. Get involved with a team that has high accountability.
Yep, get involved with someone like that. Or if you're just someone, find people who, I mean, my Lord, there's so much stuff on the internet. There's probably, I don't even know social media. That's more on your realm, but I'm sure there's groups. I hear technicians and even you talk about all these different groups of people, like HVAC Talk. I'm sure people are around. Number two, like your friends, if they're really that close, like, hey, I'm trying to do this goal, and communicate that to them. Can you help keep me on track? Can we have a cadence to check in on? And then the one that's important to me and that I like to use is I use our church.
Yeah.
Like I meet with our pastor. I try to meet with him once a month and just go, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I've been doing. These are the things going on. And just like, these are our goals. This is what we're aiming towards. Yeah. Do you see anything that I'm missing out on? And then in my physical fitness world, I use the gym. If you go to a gym, any gym, there's going to be people there roughly the same time that you go. And overcome your fear of going and meeting new people and go talk to them. And I guarantee you, people love like the culture of being around and like being able to help it.
For a lot of years, you and I were actually accountability
to each other for the gym. Like, hey, I struggle. I want to be at the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. If I know I have to meet someone there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to miss it. If I know that I don't have to meet someone there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm probably going to roll in between 6:20 and 6:45.
Yeah.
Very different, and I'm not going to get to work out as much.
Yeah, I remember the days that I did roll in at 6:20 to 6:45, I knew walking up there, you were already going to be working out, and you were going to give me a hard time about being late. And that motivated me, and it, you know, a lot of those things that people are like, oh, I don't want to be embarrassed, or you know what? Screw that. Like,
no, and the funny thing is, I go back and I use this as an example. I remember being a young person in our church and being like, you always hear the old people always say, oh, I say the old people. Anyone that was older than me was old at the time when I was 15 to 18 years old. They're like, hey, if you ever need some help or someone to check in on you, just shoot me a text, let me know. Well, I never felt comfortable doing that. And now as the person that the young people would reach out, I'm like, why do these guys not reach out to no one? But it's funny because you have the intimidation in your mind that they're going to think something of me.
Yeah.
That's not real. And it's really like, no one has ever been like, no, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
When it's something that like is, we know for a fact it's going to help you. If you're like, hey, I need money, people are probably going to ignore you. But if you're like, hey, I'm trying to get better at this, can you help me be accountable to this thing? I don't even know a person that would be like, nah, screw you. No, they would be on board with that.
A really interesting study was done at Stanford, actually. It was by their sociology department? I'm not sure. They did a study, and they took a group of volunteers, and they gave them specific things to ask people for strangers, to go up and ask strangers. Like, will you show me how to get here by walking me there? Can I use your phone? Like, things that are uncomfortable to ask people. And they said, before they started, they asked all the people to say how many people they would have to ask to get three people to say yes. How many people would you have to ask to get three people to say yes to whatever you're asking? And on average, the contestants thought it would take 2 to 3 times the amount of people it actually took to get the thing. And actually, about 10% of the people that volunteered to participate in the study backed out because they didn't want to ask people.
Yeah, intimidation.
Being intimidated is so much more powerful than
fear. It's literally fear.
It's fear, and it motivates us in the wrong direction. And if you have somebody come up and ask you for help, it actually is very flattering. Like, you're like, oh, they want my help.
Yeah, you know, they like think occasionally I'm can't you help. Take it as, man, they think I'm intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious if you ever have been in a store and get mistaken for somebody that works there. You know, somebody comes up and asks you for where to find something. And
don't wear a red shirt at Target.
Don't wear a blue shirt with yellow stripes at IKEA. But, you know, it's when even in that situation, when somebody asks you, if you don't realize at first, it's kind of flattering. Like, oh, they think I know where the lettuce is in the grocery store. Like, I look like somebody that knows my way around here.
Yeah, they think I shop at the Kroger's a lot.
It is kind of amazing how shallow we are, but
no one thinks that of me, I promise you that.
But asking for help, yeah, asking somebody to be accountable, to help you be accountable. And this is one that I've heard before. I've never tried this one. So just full disclosure, I've never tried this one. But I heard that somebody say that it's really easy to make a quick decision that is, if you just have to click a button and you can't undo it. So posting online is actually kind of a powerful accountability, because if you post on social media, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next...
Oh, that's a great one.
I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 13 weeks. If you post that on social media, now everybody that you know has seen that.
If I was on social media, my first comment would be, picture of your weight now.
Yeah.
Prove it. Yeah.
I've seen people do it. Like, there's actually whole Facebook groups dedicated to that for
weight loss. That's
pretty cool. Like, you take a picture and you say, I'm going to do this in this amount of time. And, you know, if you don't, like, some of the people on Facebook are going to see you at the holiday party. They're going to see you, you know, whenever it happens.
All of you.
And, you know, if you haven't made progress, well, there's your accountability. There's your motivation. On the days you don't feel motivated, think about how embarrassing that's going to be. And you're using the negative emotions that you experience anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already going to have those moments. Why don't you make them useful? Like, you're going to have moments you're embarrassed. Why don't you set them up to motivate you?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I'm definitely not perfect at this, obviously, since I've never done it. I've been too scared, too chicken to post something like that. But I also have some built-in accountability with groups and stuff. But if you don't have anything, you know, that's a easy... Once you post it, you know, even if you delete it, somebody saw it.
Like, hey, I seen you deleted a post the other day. What's that all about?
You know, you can't go back.
That's funny.
So, you know, find that accountability, whatever it is. If it's like, I'm going to find a new career that pays me this much money, post that online. Like, post it.
You can't. I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. You post that, someone on there might know someone in that thing that'll help you out.
Yeah. Nobody can really help you lose weight.
If they don't know you want to lose weight.
That's true.
Some of it's also just getting it out of your mind.
Yeah.
That's a whole other, that's for goal setting. You got to get it out loud. Yeah. I mean, one of the questions we ask in our interview process is, do you have written goals?
Yeah.
And I don't want to
70%.
I don't want to say alarming amount, but it's a pretty alarming amount of how many people know. And then my next question usually is, do you have any?
I've never had anybody say no to do you have any?
Everyone says
they'll
yes.
They'll make up some goals.
But I usually, we tee that one up to ask, well, give us your top three, if you don't mind sharing. And usually you're watching people come up with like, what should I say as a good goal? But it's funny, because if every person who's answered, yes, I have written goals, their next, and we ask them, hey, do you mind sharing us your top three? They're like, do you mind if I pull my phone out and show them to you? And
I would say 70% of people say they don't have written goals that we interview. And of the 30% that say they have written goals, about 10% actually do. And you can tell, because when you ask for the three goals, if they don't pull out their phone to remember them, or
they sound made up, I want a comfortable
think about it.
I want a comfortable career that makes me live good.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you made that up right now.
Like, I want to be able to retire. Okay. I would like to pay off my house. Okay. You know, and I mean, not that there's anything wrong with those goals. And sometimes those are the written goals, but, you know, you can tell when people are making
goals. Yeah, but you can tell people who have written goals, they usually have a time frame on them.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
They're specific.
If I'm going to pay off my house, it's not I want to pay off my house. Well, yeah, you're going to pay it off in 30 years if you got a 30-year note. No duh. But then you'll see guys like, I want to pay off my house by the time I'm 40.
Yeah.
Like, that's a written goal. That's something that they're focused on. They're going to be disciplined on their finances to get that because it's written down.
For sure.
So, yeah, staying disciplined has a lot to do with accountability, and staying motivated has a lot to do with accountability. And it comes down to, in my opinion, intimidation, because if I don't hit, and fear, and embarrassment.
Yeah.
Like, I got to put it out there to where if I want Spencer to hold me accountable, I'm sharing it with him to where when I do fail, it's intimidating to tell him, number one, what my goal is. And then number two, if I fail at this thing, it's going to be very embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I want it. It should be. It should mean, if it doesn't mean anything to you, being disciplined doesn't mean something to you, you're not going to be disciplined.
And one thing that I know about this whole conversation that we're having is if you get it out of your head and you tell somebody else, you will be made to be uncomfortable. You will become uncomfortable, and that will cause you to take action. I've had people tell me before they had a goal. I had one young lady tell me that she had a goal to do something in a year. And I was like, oh, well, you could do that in 6 months. And it was infuriating to her at the time that I said that, because she's like, that's a crazy short amount of time. And I'm like, but because I said that, now you have to think, how could I? How could I do it in 6 months? And that makes your brain work. It makes you think. It makes you uncomfortable. Instead of having fluffy goals, if you even start with that, you know, make up a goal that isn't specific and measurable and tell somebody about it, because telling other people about your goals is going to make your goals better. It's going to make you more accountable. It's going to force you to think, because people are going to challenge them. If you ask for help and you're like, I want to get somewhere, I want to get here. You know, I told Mike when he first started mentoring me, I told him, I said, I want to invest in real estate. Within a year, he was so frustrated that I hadn't invested in real estate, he was about ready to stop talking to me altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month or two of that, I bought a property. And it was like, if you tell people where you want to go, they will challenge you. And if you ask them to help you get there, they will challenge you. And it will make it more likely that you actually get where you want to go. But you got to tell people. You got to get it out of your head. I think that's, if you have listened to this whole podcast and it's overwhelming, step one, get it out of your head. That's the first thing. Just take the first step. Get it out of your head. Write it on a napkin. I mean, get it out of your head.
Writing it down makes it real also. I forget who I just talked to, and they were like, oh, I did this thing, and there were, oh, it was a, of course, that's another Vistage thing. We had a guy, and he was like, write everything down. He's like, write now.
Just 3 seconds. What is Vistage? Because you mentioned a lot on here, and I don't want people to be like, man, he's always talking about this, and I just don't know what it is.
Vistage is really, I'm going to say it wrong, and they're going to smack me in the mouth.
Accountability.
It's accountability.
It's going to teach you to learn what they're actually about.
Well, the way that I look at it, it is a round table of a lot of leaders inside of companies that get together from different industries, and there's usually, we bring forth issues and talk about different things, and usually there's a speaker, and it's a once a month thing where we get to go spend time to work on our businesses, and you're getting input from a lot of other really intelligent people that may or may not have been through the things that you are currently going through in your company.
So leadership development, business development.
Yes. It's really good for, like, I like to say it, and it's like there's a lot of NDAs and stuff like that where we communicate very openly, and they're not people in your business, so they have no agenda. They're not trying to get paid more money. They're not trying to get more things out of your company. It's very open and honest. Yeah. And there's a lot of times they'll bring in an outside speaker, like they've brought in business coaches that do like a 3-hour class while we're there, or like a marketing team comes in and explains what things you should be paying attention to. And there's even been health things, like what health benefits you should be doing to keep your brain motivated. But we had a guy that was actually an improv. He's an actor, and he did a lot of improv. And he talked a lot about writing and how to tell a story. And he said, stop for a minute and write down, it's 2025 right now. He said, 2028 and exactly 3 years in this month, where will you be sitting at? Where will you be writing? Write what this is the best year you ever had. What did it look like?
Mm.
And it makes you stop. He's like, don't think it, write it down.
Yeah.
And so we sat down, and I actually have mine in my backpack I think even right now, unless I cleaned it out before I go on a trip. But we wrote it down, and then like he asked some people to share, and I started sharing, and I was like, holy cow, like I need to do this. It started bringing things out to me that I have to do now, but writing it down made it real. And I think one of the people in Vistage said, I've thought of these things, but writing it down just made it real. And now I feel like I have to do it because it's a written word.
Mm. Yeah, I went through an exercise like that about 5 years ago. Probably time to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I did 1, 3, and 5 years, and I wanted to describe what my life looked like, how I lived, how much vacation I took, what my work schedule was like, and how much money I was making. And writing that down, you know, was around the same time that I started getting coaching from Mike, and I think, you know, that played a role in getting me to Jags and joining the Jags team and helping us build it to where it is. Came from some of that motivation. Some of that stuff that I wrote down drove me to push myself and to think about Jags differently.
Yeah. I enjoy the written word because it's real.
Yeah. You have a physical representation of your thoughts.
We're in my office right now. I have our written goals, yours, Andrew's, and Mike Rogers, and my goals are all written on the wall.
Yeah.
To view that anyone at any time can come in and ask, on track or off track.
Yeah.
Are you going to have these done at this time? And having that there does keep you motivated. I don't look at it every day. I probably should, but I don't look at it every day. But it is
there.
But you
look at it every week.
But I look at it a minimum of every week.
You have that cadence of accountability that we talked about.
Well, I try to set up cadence of accountability in multiple different facets. I mean, we talk about spiritual, personal, and financial, or personal, professional, and financial, however you want to look at that.
Yeah.
You need, in my opinion, this is how I like to do it. I like to have a financial accountability, a personal accountability, and a professional accountability.
Yeah. I definitely need to do a better job of that. I think that one of the things that usually gets neglected is I will always end up prioritizing my financial goals over my health goals. And that's one of the reasons I've started setting health goals in our leadership quarterly meetings, mm-hmm. because it's so easy for me. If I get the opportunity to do something that is going to help me build a more successful company or make Jags better and make Jags more money, I'll do it at the expense of my health, which probably actually impacts the results of the business as well.
Your mental health, air quotes, does depend upon your fitness at some point. And yeah. Like how quick your mind is,
yeah.
depends on what you're consuming. Now I feel like this is Joe Rogan podcast. You should eat elk meat only. No, I'm kidding. But like,
how do you feel about DMT?
Don't know what that is.
I don't know.
But I'm sure we know.
But Joe Rogan always talks about it.
Oh, okay. I'm sure there's someone that we know that could probably tell us.
Yeah, I think it's a drug.
But there's so many things that like. In my mind, like keeping your mind focused and keeping it being able to be sharp, that have to do with fitness and what you consume. I mean, we've heard it from the time we were children, at least I did. You are what you eat. You eat garbage, you're going to have garbage mind. And that also is content. If you consume garbage, your mind's going to be garbage.
Yeah, about a quarter ago, I started setting limits on some of the social media apps on my phone just to like remind me that after 30 minutes I had used 30 minutes for the day, and it's just like, okay, that's all I need for the day, you know, because it is something that helps you like just take a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like if you let that be an option all the time, you know, you just will,
that's what you
consume it so much, it'll become, it'll, your brain will just be
I heard the statement this year, your phone, we're going down the phone road here. Your phone, we use it for work, but at some point when it's always entertainment, it works you.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of what it should be doing. I thought that was a pretty impressive statement of saying your phone's actually working you. It's controlling your time, not the other way around.
I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen a couple of different, I don't know if it's an app or if it's a physical thing that, I think it's an app, but it basically makes your phone into a dumb phone. So,
does it have buttons? Because I really want buttons back. I'm about 95 years old. I really want buttons back really bad. It's so hard to, it's really hard to text and drive if you don't have buttons. Don't share that with anybody. I definitely don't text and drive. I talk, text, and drive, and you can ask anyone in this company that I talk, text, because my texts don't make any sense to anybody.
Yeah, I don't think if you're a technician listening to this, do not text and drive. Not a good idea. Hands-free devices only.
I will call the police on you. Anyway. Truck number 131 on 71 North.
My point was they have stuff out. Because, like, if you use just the app that's built in on the iPhone, you can hit ignore and you can turn it back off. But these other apps, it locks you out. It's like from this time to this time, you're not allowed to use Facebook or YouTube or X or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can set it up. It won't let you. It won't let you bypass. It's a paid service. But I'm thinking about doing it because it's like that really makes the accountability high. Like,
yeah,
you don't need that stuff. It doesn't. No. It doesn't help you at all. So,
well, stay disciplined. Get some accountability. And yeah. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. There's no one that's not here to help you. And we're not even talking about here. If you have, and if you want to reach out to one of us,
yeah,
we're always more than happy to help be accountable to things.
Here's what I'll do. If you want to be accountable to something and you have a goal and you email it to us, you can email it to us at info@smarterwealthier.com. That's a real email. We do check it. And if you send something to that, I will make sure that it goes out to myself, Gabe Rogers, Mike Rogers, and we will know that you set this goal. If you put a time frame on there, we'll respond in that time frame and we'll check in with you and say, hey, did you do this? So there's some free accountability if you want that. I know we only have like 10 listeners, so I can commit to being able to do that.
For now. Now, in about 3 years when we have thousands of listeners and we start getting emails from this podcast.
We're going to have to take it down.
Find some friends.
Use social media. Here's the biggest thing. Just start by writing it down. Just listen. Yeah. You listen to this podcast. You've got one thing to do. This is your one to do from it. Do it before our next podcast comes out. Write it down. That's your task. Mm-hmm. If you're driving right now, when you ask Siri, remind me in an hour or whenever you get home that I need to set a goal and write it down. Do that right now. Mm-hmm. Pause the podcast, ask Siri, say, you know, remind me to write down this goal. And then write down a goal, because getting it out of your head is the first step. Like, that has made me hundreds of thousands of dollars, that one step. Writing it down has made me hundreds of thousands of dollars. So do it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we will be back next week. We really appreciate you guys listening to the Smarter and Wealthier podcast, and we hope you enjoyed hearing us talk about discipline and motivation. And we will be back next week.
Peace.